So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela, verses 87 to 90. Okay. Verse number 87. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month, but still there was no sign of the delivery of the child. Thus, Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Text 88, translation. Nilambar Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then did an astrological calculation and said that in that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. Verse 89, translation. Thus in the year 1407 of the Shaka era, AD 1486, in the month of Phalguna, February-March, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment arrived. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrit Pravaha Bhashya has presented the horoscope of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. And then there is a series of numbers given there, which is essentially the calculation of the horoscope, the chart, the birth chart. The explanation of the horoscope given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that at the time of birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the planets were situated as follows. Shukra or Venus was in Mesh Rashi, Aries, and the nakshatra, lunar mention of Ashwini. Ketu, the ninth planet, was in Simha Rashi, Leo, and Uttar Phalguni Nakshatra. Chandra, the moon, was in Purva Phalguni, the 11th lunar mansion. Shani or Saturn was in Vrishchika Rashi, Scorpio, and Jyeshta. Brihaspati, Jupiter, was in Dhanu Rashi, Sagittarius, and Purva Ashad. Mangal or Mars was in Makar Rashi, Capricorn, and Shravana Nakshatra. Ravi, the sun, was in Kumbh Rashi, Aquarius, and Purva Bhadrapad Nakshatra. Rahu was in Purva Bhadrapad, and Buddha, Mercury, was in Meen Rashi, Pisces, and Uttara Bhadrapad. The Lagna was Simha. So we see here the chart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the horoscope of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in great detail, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained all the planets, positioning of all the planets on the horoscope. And then we come to this verse. Translation, according to the Jyotir Veda or Vedic astrology, the auspicious birth moment is described as follows. The moon was in Leo, the figure of the lion in the zodiac. Leo was the ascendant. Several planets were strongly positioned, and the Shadvarga and Ashtavarga showed all auspicious influences. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was previously a great astrologer, explains this verse as follows. The Shadvarga, six divisions, are technically called Kshetra, Hora, Drikkana, Navamsha, Dvadashamsha, and Trimshamsha. According to Jyotir Vedic astrology, when the relationship between the planets and the rulers of these six divisions is determined, the auspiciousness of the moment of birth can be calculated. In the book named Brihat Jataka and other books, there are directions for interpreting the movements of stars and planets. One who knows the process of calculating the Ashtavarga, eight divisions, can predict auspicious and inauspicious events. This science is known especially by persons who are called Hora Shastravit, or those who know the astrological scriptures. On the strength of astrological calculations from the Hora scriptures, Nilambar Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had ascertained the auspicious moment when the Lord would appear. So this verse talks about details of In fact, all of these verses talk about the details of Jyotirveda, which is astrology. Do we have any astrologers here in the room? Or anyone who has any understanding of astrology? No? Little bit? Okay. So we see that Nilambar Chakravarti has charted the planets of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One might ask a question, what is the need to have a chart of Bhagavan Swayam, of Krishna himself, Mahaprabhu? What is the need? Why would you calculate and make a chart of Mahaprabhu? So that question is answered by Srila Prabhupada in Adi Leela, chapter 17. There is a very nice pastime where Mahaprabhu, who is a young boy, one day he is walking on the banks of the Ganges and he spots an astrologer who is Sarvajna. Sarvajna means he can see the past, present and future. Mahaprabhu stops the astrologer and says, "Please tell me, who was I in my previous birth?" Mahaprabhu is asking, "Who was I in my previous birth?" So the astrologer immediately makes all the calculations based on his, you know, date, time, place of birth. These are the three things you need: date, time and place of birth. So Mahaprabhu appeared according to the Julian calendar, 18th of February 1486 at 6:01 p.m. in Navadvip. So when you have that details, you can draw a chart. So he drew a chart and then he made all his calculations and he started to meditate. And he replied, "You are Bhagavan Swayam. Your chart tells me that there is nothing, there is no planet that is having any ill effect. And this is only possible if you are Bhagavan Swayam." So you are yourself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Mahaprabhu, as a young boy, we know his pastimes in Navadvip especially were very mischievous. So he held the hand of that astrologer and said, "No, I think you made a mistake in your calculations. Or maybe you don't know the science of Jyotirveda. I was not Bhagwan. I was a simple cowherd boy in my previous life. And I protected the cows and the brahmanas. And because of that, I got this birth as a brahmana in this life. This is my past life. I was simply a cowherd boy." So in this way, we see that Mahaprabhu is, you know, having this wonderful exchange with the astrologer. And Srila Prabhupada comments there that the science of astrology is so exact that if done correctly, one can know the past, present and future. Ordinarily, animals, Bhagavatam says, animals do not have a strong understanding of the past. They only live in the present. But humans have the fortune of understanding and remembering the past as well as present. But devatas, they understand the past, the present and the near future. Not the remote future, the near future. Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, they can understand. Lord Vishnu is separate, but Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma can understand the future up to a certain point, up to the end of Kalpa, for instance. So everyone needs the science of astrology in the three planets to understand future, or remote past. So this science is exact, and Srila Prabhupada says the reason why the chart of Mahaprabhu is done is to establish this very fact that he is non-different from, or he is none other than Krishna himself. So this is why the chant is done. And who other than Garga Muni himself can do the chant? In 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 5, we see Nanda Maharaj approaches Garga Muni and he's asking Garga Muni, please make a chart of my son and tell me what his activities will be like in this birth. He's asking about Krishna and Balram. And Garga Muni draws the chart and he says, oh, your son, he's appeared in previous yugas and in this yuga he's appeared as Krishna himself, who is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we find this in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The same Garga Muni appeared as Nilambara Chakravarti, who is the grandfather of, maternal grandfather of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shachi Devi's father. So, in fact, the science of astrology, maybe I'll give you a very quick synopsis. What is this astrology that is so mystical otherwise, you know? So the science of astrology is essentially at the time of birth, like at this very moment, there are planets revolving in the universe. And the universe is divided, the space, if you imagine it as a circle, is divided into or sliced into 12 sections. These are the 12 zodiacs. Each one of the zodiac may have various constellations, groups of stars in it. And those groups of stars are known as nakshatra. So there are 27 nakshatras, 12 zodiacs, and there are how many planets? For Vedic astrology, there are 9 planets. So the 7 planets are the 7, you know, the days of the week. So Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus and Saturn. These are the 7. And then there is Rahu and Ketu. Rahu and Ketu are the astral nodes of the moon. So these are the 9 planets. These planets could be anywhere in that circle, in that universal plane. So when these planets are projected at the time of birth on a piece of paper, you will find that in those 9 zodiacs, those 9 squares or sections, you will have different planets in different areas. For example, if somebody is, let's take Mahaprabhu for instance. He appeared just after sunset. Sunset happened at 5:58 p.m. on that day in Nadia. And he appeared after that. So what will be the rising planet on the horizon? The moon. So you see in his ascendant, in his chart, in his first house, you have the moon. And what was the setting planet? It was the sun. So in the 7th house, you see the sun. And then it was eclipse. So there was Rahu and Ketu. So you see in the 7th house is Rahu. And in the 1st house you have Ketu. So you have moon with Ketu. And the zodiac which was rising was Simha. Simha is Leo. So Mahaprabhu had the moon in Leo along with Ketu. It signifies 2 things. That he will be a leader. And in fact it was a full moon, Purnima. So he was a leader. He would lead the people of the world. And he would exhibit exceptional vairagya, exceptional renunciation because of the Ketu. So you know, like this there are interpretation. So the 12 houses that are there in a person's chart are used to determine the various possibilities or influences in one's life. So it's almost like a projection of your karmic bank balance on a piece of paper. The challenge is somebody has to know how to read it. So here, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur is saying that there are Shadvarga, six divisions, Kshetra, Hora, Trekkana, Navamsha, Dvadashamsha and Trimshamsha. So this Shadvarga, in Kshetra what you do is each one of those zodiac, you analyze each one of the zodiac based on the planets in that zodiac. In Hora, you divide the zodiac into two. So one zodiac is 30 degrees. So you divide into two, 15 degrees each. And you analyze. In Drekkana, you divide into three. So 10 degrees each. In Navamsha, you divide into nine. In Dvadashamsha, divide 30 degrees into 12. In Trimshamsha, each degree divide into 30. So it's very, very complex for every house. And then there are, for every particular sthana, position, so there are 12 positions. Each position has a particular fruit, phala. So for example, the person when he is, the rising planet is called lagna or jataka, which is the planet in which one is, the house which signifies the birth of that person. The ascendant house. So that tells us about the swabhava of that person or the nature of the person. Exactly opposite to that is the seventh house. And always these houses go in pair. So 1 to 7. And 7 refers to relationship. So it refers to marriage, for instance. The second refers to dhana or wealth. But the opposite of that is mrityu. Why? Because everything that one gets at birth will be taken away by mrityu. The third is parakramasthan or activities that will be performed. And you know, likewise we can go on, and the science of astrology can be understood in 4 hours. Jyotirveda is not difficult. In four to six hours, one can understand the science of astrology. So, 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22, speaks about, actually chapter 22, 23, both, speaks about the influence of various planets. And when these influences are seen in relation to one's chart, then one can almost determine the future and the past, as well as understand why the present circumstances are, you know, the way they are. So this is how much I want to say about astrology purely, and I'll move on now to more important topics. So the question that comes to mind is astrology mentioned in any scriptures? Any of our bhakti scriptures, devotional scriptures? Any examples that you can think of? Astrology has three aspects. Ganita. Ganita means making the mathematical calculations. Samhita. Samhita means electional astrology, which means what is the right time to do something? Muhurta. Is this the right muhurta to do something or not? That is electional astrology. That is used, and Srila Prabhupada also says, should be used, for instance, when we are determining appearance days, disappearance days. In fact, Prabhupada, wherever he would go, he would carry a panjika with him. Panjika is panchangam, the Vedic astrological calendar, to determine the correct days for appearance, disappearance, correct days for Ekadashi, Dvadashi, etc. And Muhurta also means correct moment for doing a yajna, for instance. This is electional astrology called Samhita. And the third is Hora. Hora means predictive astrology, predictions. For which, as Siddhant Saraswati Thakur says, one needs to have a strong grasp on the Shadvarga and Ashtakvarga. Only then one can do this prediction. It's very difficult otherwise. Modern day astrologers don't even look at the Shadavarga or Ashtakavarga. They just look at the Kshetra and they make predictions, which are at best unreliable. So only once one is really learned in all three, Ganita, Samhita and the Hora, then one can make proper predictions. So the question is, do scriptures support, do we have examples in the scriptures of such use of astrology? In Srimad Bhagavatam perhaps? Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Wonderful. So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the chart of Parikshit Maharaj, 12th chapter. If we read first canto, 12th chapter, we have verse 29, which says, Iti rajna upadishya vipra jataka kovida. Jataka kovida. Those who were astrologers, they came to Maharaj Yudhishthir. They were invited by him and they did the chart of Parikshit. And they predicted what Parikshit would do. In fact, verse number 27 is very interesting. This is the astrologer's reading when Parikshit Maharaj is born. He's a newborn baby. The astrologers are predicting this. Verse number 27 says, Takshakad atmano mrityum dvijaputro pasarjitat. The son of a Brahmin will create a venomous snake called Takshaka. And because of that Takshaka's death, this child will die. This is at the time of birth of Parikshit. At the time of birth of Parikshit Maharaj, it is already said, Takshakad atmano mrityum dvijaputro pasarjitat. But the astrologers say he will die not an ordinary death. What will his death be like? Prapatsyata. This is future tense. Future tense. Prapatsyata. He will surrender. Upashrutya. And he will hear. Mukta Sangha Padam Hare. He will hear in the assembly of great sages and Padam Hare. And ultimately he will reach the land of Hari. This is a prediction. This is predictive astrology in Srimad Bhagavatam. We see very beautiful verse in Ayodhya Kand in Ramayana. When Maharaj Dashrath was almost, his health was failing and he was almost wondering what should be done in terms of the kingdom, whom should I hand over the kingdom to? He realized that the best person is his older son, which is Ramchandra. So he said, let me hand over the kingdom to Ramchandra. But he kept delaying it. Until one day, he called Ramchandra suddenly and then he said this. He says, Avashtabdham cha me Rama, O Ram, Nakshatram Darunagrahai. Graha, the malicious planets are afflicting my nakshatra, birth nakshatra. Avedyanti devajnya, devajnya, the astrologers have told me that your nakshatra currently is being afflicted by malicious planets. Which are the malicious planets which are afflicting? Suryangaraka Rahubihi. Surya, Angaraka and Rahu. Surya is Sun, Angaraka is Mars and Rahu is Rahu, the demoniac planet. These three planets are affecting your nakshatra. The astrologers have told me, Maharaj Dashrath says to Ram. After calling Ram, he says this. So what should I do? Well, let me tell you what is the result of this affliction of nakshatra. If a person is a king and his nakshatra is afflicted, he says, prayena cha nimittanam. Generally, this is what happens. Idrishanam samudbhave. When you have this affliction, राजा ही मृत्यु आपनोति, द किंग विल डाई. दशरथ महाराज हैज कॉल्ड राम, ही सेइंग द एस्ट्रोलॉजर्स हैव वॉर्न्ड मी दैट द किंग इज गोइंग टू डाई, व्हिच मींस ही इज गोइंग टू डाई. राजा ही मृत्यु आपनोति, घोराम चापदम ऋच्छति, एंड अ ग्रेट कैलामिटी विल बीफॉल द किंगडम. सो व्हाट शुड आई डू? So he says, today is Purnavasu, tomorrow is Pushya. Actually, today's nakshatra is Purnavasu as well. So Purnavasu nakshatra is the birth nakshatra of Lord Ramchandra. He was born in Purnavasu nakshatra. Anyway, so Maharaj Dashrath says, today is Purnavasu, tomorrow is Pushya nakshatra, which is the best muhurta for me to crown you as the crown prince. So let us have the ceremony tomorrow. So Maharaj Dashrath is also using, you can see, taking some guidance from these astrologers. And we see Ramchandra himself also being learned in astrology, in the calculation of Muhurta, which is the right time. So when Hanumanji is sent to Lanka to find out if Sita Devi is in Lanka indeed, he returns back, and the day he returns during, you know, midday, around 11 o'clock. I'm not making it up, all this is mentioned in Ramayana. So he returns around midday, and Lord Ramchandra is informed at that point that Sita Devi is indeed in Lanka, and this is what she has given to me to prove that she is indeed there. At that time, Ramchandra says this verse. He says, Asmin Muhurte Sugriva. O Sugriva, O commander of the monkey army Sugriva, Asmin Muhurte Sugriva Prayanam Abhirochaya. Let's move on at this very Muhurta, this very time. Yuktam Muhurte Vijaye, because this is Vijaya Muhurta or Abhijit Muhurta. Actually, it's very easy to calculate the best Muhurta of the day. You look at the sunrise time, say 6:30 a.m. in the morning is sunrise, 6:30 p.m. is the sunset. Divide 6:30 to 6:30 into 15, divide by 15. So you'll get approximately 48 minutes each. The eighth section of that is a muhurta which you can do any good activity in. It is called Abhijit Muhurta. So on a perfect day, that eighth muhurta will be around midday, which is the moment when Hanumanji came and gave the news that Sita Devi is indeed in Lanka. So Ramchandra says, yes, this muhurta is perfect muhurta. It is Vijaya, Abhijit Muhurta, when you are giving me this message. This gives me the understanding that the victory will be ours. And then he says, we should move immediately. Why? Because Uttara Phalguni Adya, today is Uttara Phalguni. Shvastu hastena yokshate, and tomorrow will be Hasta Nakshatra. Whenever a warrior goes out, if he wants to win, there are only three nakshatras that he can go out in to a fight if he really wants to win. So Uttara Phalguni is one of them. So he says, today is Uttara Phalguni Nakshatra, let's move. Abhiprayama Sugriva, let us move on. Sarvanika Samavrita, with our armies, let us go. Let us leave at this point itself, because it's the correct nakshatra. So we can see the understanding of nakshatra, the correct muhurta, was even demonstrated by Lord Ramchandra himself. And just one final verse. I was thinking there must be in Bhagavatam also, there must be something of muhurta. So you know when, and this is very, very interesting and sweet. In third canto, we have Varahadeva appearing. So you have Brahma and the demigods going to Lord Vishnu, praying to him. And when Varahadeva appears, Brahma is praying, and his prayers, there is one verse where Brahmaji says, please don't waste any time, Varahadeva, attack this Hiranyaksha now. Attack Hiranyaksha now, because this is Abhijit Muhurt. If you attack him now, you will win. So the verse is this, Adhuna Esha Abhijit Nama. Adhuna Esha, right now itself, the Muhurta is Abhijit Nama. Adhunesha Abhijit Nama, Yogo Mauhurtiko Yagat, Shivayanastvam Suridam. You are the well-wisher of your friends like us, Brahma and demigods. Ashu Nistara Dustaram. Ashu Nistara, quickly get rid of Dustaram, this demon Hiranyaksha. Don't waste any further time. This is the perfect Muhurta. So actually Brahmaji is guiding Varahadeva to attack at the right Muhurta. So you see this electional astrology and the predictive astrology both. We see innumerable examples in Mahabharata. Even in Bhagavatam there are many examples. So the question is, are these material? Astrology, is that a material science or is that a spiritual science? Anyone? Spiritual. How many of you say spiritual science? Astrology is spiritual science. What about Rig Veda? Is that spiritual? Knowledge in the Rig Veda? Yes, how many of you raise your hand? Okay. So others, I'm assuming those who don't raise hands, they say that it's material. Yajurveda? Material? Samaveda? Atharva Veda? How many of you don't know? Okay. So, we should be very thorough in our understanding of what is spiritual, what is material. Mundaka Upanishad gives the answer, direct answer. Listen carefully. It says, Dve Vidye Veditavyam Iti Hasma. Dve Vidye, there are two types of Vidya. Knowledge or education is of two types. Yad Brahma Vido Vadanti Para Chaiva Paracha. Brahmavida, those who are learned, they divide all education in the world into two categories. Para and apara. Para means spiritual, apara means material. Para means beyond spiritual, apara means material. Now comes the list. Here is the list. This is Mundaka Upanishad. Tatra in this category, apara. These are the apara. These are all material knowledge. Rigvedo Yajurvedah, Samavedo Atharvavedah. All the four Vedas are material knowledge. Shiksha, how to pronounce perfectly, is material. Kalpa, performing sacrifices, yajnas, perfect timing, perfect procedures, material. Vyakranam, great skills in grammar, Sanskrit. Grammar, knowledgeable in Sanskrit grammar, material. Niruktam, understanding of deep meanings of different words, material. Chandaha, understanding of meters, different meters in which the different verses are to be chanted, is material. Listen carefully, last one, Jyotisham Iti. And astrology, material, all this material. All the Vedas, material. All the six Vedangas, Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakran, Nirukta, Chanda, Jyotisha, six Vedangas, all material. So what is spiritual then? Spiritual is Atha Para Yatha Tad Aksharam Adigamyate. Only that is spiritual knowledge by which one goes beyond and serves the Supreme. That knowledge which takes you to the Supreme, that gives you the shelter of the Supreme, is transcendental knowledge. Everything else is material. So I have another question then. If astrology is material, would we have astrology in the spiritual world? In Golok Vrindavan, would we have astrology? Yes, no, don't know. There are only three answers. How many of you say yes? There is. If you say yes, you have to give proof, evidence, huh? But the Parikshit Maharaj is, he appeared on Bhumandala, on earth. I am saying in Golok Vrindavan, in Krishna Leela, is there astrology involved? Everyone unanimously says no, yes. There is no time there. So can there be astrology? No? Okay. Why? Because astrology is material. Is gardening material knowledge? You know how to do gardening. Is that material knowledge? Yes or no?
Yes.
Is music, playing different instruments, is that material knowledge? Yes. So, Ashta Sakhis, eight Sakhis are there. Chitra Gopi is one of the Ashta Sakhis. One of the dear associates of Srimati Radharani. And she is expert at three things. Gardening, music, and astrology. So what does Chitra Gopi use astrology for in the spiritual world? She calculates what is the best muhurta for Radha and Krishna to meet. She calculates what is the best muhurta to prepare the best bhoga for Lord Krishna. So, in fact, the message carriers in the spiritual world, they are known as dutis. Duti is, duta is masculine, duti is feminine. So little girls who are 5-year-old, they carry messages from Krishna to Radharani's camp, you know, like that. They are carrying messages. So there are 7 categories of dutis. One of the 7 categories is daivajnya, which means those dutis who are expert at astrology. They look at the planets and they see what is the right time to do certain things. What is the right time I should go there so that nobody will be around and I will be able to give the message. So they make the calculation before going. So we see spiritual world also, astrology is used. Like gardening is used, music is used, everything is used. See, anything that is used in the service of Krishna, even though it is material, like Srila Prabhupada would say, you know, this mic is material, but we are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has become spiritual. When Srila Prabhupada visited Soho Street, Shishi Radha Londoneshwar, not Soho Street, it was Bari Place. He said, London is a materialistic place and you are living in the spiritual world. Because the temple is the spiritual world. It's non-different. Because everything is connected to Krishna. So similarly, astrology is connected to Krishna becomes spiritual. So now the question is for us as devotees, should we be interested in astrology or not? Should we have interest? No? Yes? No? Don't know? Yes? So Srila Prabhupada clearly mentions for the purpose of marriage compatibility, many, many places Prabhupada says, especially he says that everyone is born in one of the three ganas. Ganas means categories. They are either Brahmana, actually 4 varnas, and 3 categories, Deva Gana, Asura Gana, and Manushya Gana. So Prabhupada says that if you marry a girl who is Deva Gana with a husband who is Asura Gana, there will be always fight. So Prabhupada says this in purports in Srimad Bhagavatam. So for marriage compatibility, Srila Prabhupada says yes. But there is an interesting letter in which Prabhupada has said something different. He says, somebody asked him about astrology and consulting an astrologer. Srila Prabhupada says very emphatically, he says, regarding astrology, You should not listen to any of these so-called astrologers. Strictly avoid. Don't even see them. What is the use of seeing them? Once Pradyumna Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, in Hyderabad, he asked Srila Prabhupada, "You know, I have interest in studying astrology. Should I study astrology or should I not study astrology? Because, you know, it's very interesting and it's good to know what's coming." So, Srila Prabhupada said, "The Vaishnava Siddhanta is, come what it may, we don't care." Prabhupada said, "Come what it may, we don't care." Then he said, he paused and then he said, "But if it is going to rain, it helps to carry the umbrella." If we know it's going to rain, it helps to carry the umbrella. Right? So just like somebody might look at the weather forecast, somebody comes out of the house like I did this morning, and I looked at the it's cloudy. So, you know, you might refer to the weather forecast, and the forecast, the weatherman says, "Brilliant sunny day," and it's cloudy. It's possible. Or he may say, "Expect thunderstorms and rain," and then you carry your umbrella. But imagine every hour somebody is checking the weather report. Every 15 minutes. So when one gets into that dependency mode on the weatherman, it is foolishness. But Srila Prabhupada said, yes. If it is going to rain, if we know it's going to rain, it helps to carry the umbrella. So, you know, you might consult once in a while for some specific thing. But it is, the challenge is, why Srila Prabhupada was so outrightly against showing to so-called astrologers is because they are only after money. In fact, previously, astrologers would only ask for what? Whatever you can give. There was no price. Now there is a rate card. Before you go to the astrologer, there is a rate card. And it's all professional. And they do not calculate properly. Plus, your time of birth may not be correct. So there are so many dependencies. Again, in 10th canto, chapter 8, verse number 5 purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the same purport in which it is mentioned that how Garga Muni did the chart of Lord Krishna. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, "Therefore, any gentleman, dhira, any gentleman must be interested in Jyotish astrology." So you see, Prabhupada is saying different things. So how do we reconcile? So here is the reconciliation, my realization, and from what we hear, what we know from Srimad Bhagavatam. First of all, we must understand that Lord Krishna himself is the one who gives the ultimate results to everyone. And there is a proof, there is evidence. Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra is a predictive astrology text written by Parashar Muni, the father of Vyasadev. Of course, some people don't agree. But there is a beautiful verse there which says, "Jivanam karma phalado, jivanam karma phalado, graha rupi janardanaha." The karma phala is provided to the jivas by Janardam himself, by Janardan, Lord Krishna himself, graha rupi janardana. In the form of planets, Krishna himself is providing the results of the karma. But ultimately it is Krishna. So the same text says, if your sun is weak or giving you trouble, you worship Ramchandra. If moon is giving you trouble, you worship Lord Krishna and Balram. If Mars is giving trouble, worship Lord Narsingadev. If your Buddha, Mercury is giving trouble, worship Lord Buddha. If Brihaspati, Jupiter is giving trouble, worship Vamandev. If Venus is giving trouble, then worship Parshuram. If Saturn is giving trouble, worship Kurmadev. If Rahu is giving trouble, then worship Varahadev. And if Ketu is giving trouble, then worship Matsyavatar. So why is that? Because actually these planets derive their powers from these avatars. So ultimately, there is no independence of these planets in giving the karma phala. It is ultimately only and only the Supreme Lord who is giving the phala. And Prahlad Maharaj is telling Narsingadev, see, understand one thing. When we uproot our Shraddha, our faith in the process of Harinam, in the process of Sadhu Sangha, in the process of Seva, and we realign that faith into other things like astrology, etc., then we are going away from Krishna consciousness. If our Shraddha in the process of Krishna consciousness is less than our Shraddha in, let's say, Jyotisha, then such Shraddha becomes our hindrance in the path of Krishna consciousness. So although everyone wants a quick fix in one's life, and one might go to an astrologer, he says, okay, you do this, do that, and everything will be fixed. The fact is, who can save us? And this is a beautiful, one of my favorite verses in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Narsingadev. He says, Balasya neha sharanam pitarau Narsimha. Hey Narsimha. Generally people think that a little newborn baby can be saved by whom? Who is the protector of a newborn child? The mother and father. But Prahlad Maharaj says, no, it is not the case. Because we see that even though the mother and father wants to protect the child still dies of some disease, for instance. Balasya neha sharanam pitarau narsimha nartasya cha agadam na artasya cha agadam. Agadam means medicine. Artasya means one who is diseased. Generally we see, if somebody is diseased, what will save them? Medicine. Prahlad Maharaj says, no, medicine will not save. Why? Because we see so many people, they are admitted to ICU under the best of doctors. What happens? They still die. They couldn't be saved. Best medicines couldn't be saved. Udanvati majjato nau. Udanvati, those who are in the ocean drowning, majjataha. What will save them? A drowning person can be in the ocean. Who can save? A boat. Prahlad Maharaj says, no, boat cannot save. Because even if the boat is there and the person climbs the boat itself might capsize. So then Prahlad Maharaj says, taptasya tat pratividhir ya iha anjasa ishta. The problem in the material world is, we take shelter of astrology, we take shelter of this, that. Because anjasa ishta. We want quick fix. Can you quickly fix this? Taptasya, Prahlad Maharaj says, because we are burning in this material world, we want this quick fix and we take shelter of all these things. But what is the outcome? Prahlad Maharaj says, prati vidhi. Whatever is desired, you don't get that, you get the opposite. A rich man goes, or let's say a poor man goes to an astrologer. The astrologer charges him £50. He goes because he's poor. He wants to find out how he'll become, you know, more wealthy. The astrologer charges him 50 pounds and gives him some upaya, and still nothing happens. The person has ultimately lost his money. He's become poorer by going to the astrologer. So you get pratividhi. Not what you desire, but the opposite of what you desire. This is Prahlad Maharaj saying, why? Tavad vibho tanubhritam tvad upekshitanam. Because these people are not taking your shelter. They are mudha. Because they are foolish, instead of taking your shelter, they are taking shelter of these other means. So when our Shraddha in Harinam, Sadhu Sangha and Seva is stripped, is overcome by our Shraddha in Jyotisha and other things, then we should understand such Shraddha is not, you know, the right thing to do. Jyotish and other things should not reduce our Shraddha in Harinam. Because ultimately, Mother Devaki, when she is in the prison, she is praying to Lord Krishna. In 10th canto, she says, everyone is running. We want to run away from disease. We want to run away from, you know, miseries. We want to run away from death. And what do we want to do? Ultimately, what will a person who is running, 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 what is he hoping to do? Ultimately, he's hoping to take rest. Correct? Ultimately, he wants to stop somewhere and take rest. Mother Devaki is saying exactly where you can take rest. Beautiful verse. She says, Martyo Mrityu Vyala Bhita Palayan. She's saying this mrityu is like a vyala, is like a snake, which is running behind you to devour you. This snake is catching up with you and you are running away from the snake. Mrityu vyala bhita palayanan. You are running because you are afraid of the snake. Lokan sarvan nirbhayam. Nadya gachat. And you are running to all the lokas. Maybe in Swargaloka I will be saved. Maybe in Brahmaloka. Maybe with the doctor's hospital I will be saved. Maybe if I go to the astrologer I will be saved. You are taking shelter of all these different things. Mother Devaki says, but tvat padabjam prapya, but somehow yadrichaya adya. But now, somehow, if the person has taken shelter of your feet, these are beautiful words, sustaha shete, and then he becomes completely without any anxiety, sustaha, he becomes steady, and shete, he lies down. This person who was running, after taking shelter of so many things, he was still running. But when he's taken shelter of your feet, Mother Devaki is saying beautiful words. She says, sustaha shete. He becomes, now I can lie down relaxed. Why? Mrityuhu asmadapaiti. Because he knows that this snake of mrityu is running away from me. The opposite is happening now. So I can lie down. So taking shelter of. But somebody might still wonder, but Kartik Chandradas, what about the planets? Will the planets not affect me? I'm taking shelter of Krishna, but the planets, what about them? I looked up and down Bhagavatam to find out if there is a verse which directly addresses this problem of planets affecting us. And in the 6th canto, Vishwarupa was appointed, the son of Tvashta was appointed by the demigods to become their priest. And he taught Indra this Narayan Kavach. 6th canto, chapter 8 is Narayan Kavach. And this Vishwarupa, when he taught Narayan Kavach, the Phalashruti of Narayan Kavach, the result of seeking shelter of Narayan, the result is this. इट सेज न कुतश्चित भयम तस्य विद्याम धारयतो भवेत. वन हु टेक शेल्टर ऑफ नारायण न कुतश्चित भयम तस्य. देर इज नो भय लेफ्ट इन हिम, देर इज नो एंग्जाइटी लेफ्ट इन हिम. एंग्जाइटी फ्रॉम होम? लिसन टू द लिस्ट केयरफुली. राज फ्रॉम द गवर्नमेंट, नॉट नो एंग्जाइटी फ्रॉम द गवर्नमेंट. फ्रॉम द लीडर्स, नो एंग्जाइटी फ्रॉम द लीडर्स. दस्यु थीव्स, नो एंग्जाइटी फ्रॉम द थीव्स. ग्रह आदिभ्य, नो एंग्जाइटी फ्रॉम द प्लैनेट्स. ग्रह, सी डायरेक्टली इट सेज. व्याधि, नो एंग्जाइटी फ्रॉम एनी डिजीज. आदिभ्य च कर्हिचित, नेवर एवर, न च कर्हिचित, नेवर एवर विल वन हैव एंग्जाइटी हु हैज ट्रूली टेकन शेल्टर. एंड हेंस यू नो 26 क्वालिटीज ऑफ अ डिवोटी. वन क्वालिटी इज कृष्णैक शरणम. कृष्ण एक शरणम. बट वॉट वी डू, वी टेक अवे अवर श्रद्धा फ्रॉम कृष्ण शरणम एंड वी पुट अवर श्रद्धा, इन्वेस्ट अवर श्रद्धा इन ज्योतिषम और समथिंग एल्स. दैट इज द बिगेस्ट सिन. इनफैक्ट महाभारत सेज अश्रद्धा परमम पापम. बिगेस्ट सिन इज टू हैव अश्रद्धा इन द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. एंड टू हैव श्रद्धा इन द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. श्रद्धा तो प्रमोचिनी. एंड हैविंग श्रद्धा इन द लॉर्ड गिव्स लिबरेशन. सो इंस्टेड ऑफ रिमूविंग अवर श्रद्धा इन द प्रोसेस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस, वी इन्वेस्ट अवर फेथ इन अदर थिंग्स एंड दैट डज नॉट टेक अस एनीवेयर. एज मदर देवकी सेड, वी विल स्टिल बी रनिंग इन एंग्जाइटी. देयर इज ऑल्सो अनदर very nice astrological reading that was done by Mahaprabhu, and I'll stop with that. Mahaprabhu, when he is instructing Sanatana Goswami, he gives an astrological reading for everyone, for all of us. And that is a true reading. That is a true astrological reading. This is in Madhya Leela, when Sanatana Goswami is being instructed, chapter 20. Mahaprabhu says that one day a poor man, he went to an astrologer whose name was Sarvajna. Sarvajna means knower of everything, past, present and future. And this astrologer, when the poor man came to him, the poor man was crying and begging to give some guidance. Sarvajna, the astrologer, tells the poor man, "Why do you cry? You have immense wealth." "Oh, I have wealth? I don't know where it is." "Yes, you have immense wealth and it is hidden in your compound. But if you dig in the wrong direction, you will suffer." He says, "If you dig in the south, in the southern direction, you will be attacked by, you will be stung by wasps. And if you dig in the north direction, you will be attacked by a snake who will devour you. If you dig in the western direction, then from the earth will come out a yaksha who will make you mad." Yaksha is one of the, you know, beings, subterranean beings. He will come out and he will make you mad, crazy. "But if you dig in the eastern direction where the sun rises, you will find this great fortune." This is the instruction of Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So what is the meaning? Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives us the meaning. He says, the southern direction, where if you dig you get wasps, which will continuously sting you, is like following the path of karma, karma kanda, or even karma yoga, where ultimately you may get some benefits, but you are constantly in samsara, being stung by the wasps and remaining in samsara. The northern direction, where you will be swallowed by the snake, Srila Prabhupada says, it signifies the jnana marg, the path of knowledge. The path of yoga, hatha yoga. Because the path of yoga will ultimately merge you into Brahman, will not give you any happiness. Like the snake swallows you, that Brahman will swallow you. And the western direction, the yaksha who bewilders you, is the path of jnana. One becomes big, learned person, he only becomes more and more bewildered. But the eastern direction where the sun rises is the rising of the Supreme Lord, and his shelter one finds true happiness. And so one must never give up one's Shraddha in the process of devotional service and repose it to anything else. This was the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with this I will stop.